The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and with his children and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But the one who drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming to draw water. I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus. Because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when they, the Samaritans, came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. So brothers and sisters, we here in St. Mary's and in our community, the Companions of the Cross, have had quite a week with the ordination of our brother priest, Father Christian, who is now and henceforth forevermore to be known as Bishop Christian Riesbeck, a bishop from our own community. We'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary of foundation next year. It was right here in this church that we were founded by Father Bob Bedard, who was pastor here at that time. Many of you remember him. He passed away a few years ago. Maybe one day his own cause for canonization will be opened. Now we number approximately 40 priests and are spread out all over Canada and the U.S. And one of our priests, who's not even one of the older ones, only 44 years old, is a bishop. So pray for him. It's a great honor, but it's a great responsibility. He'll be a bishop in active ministry, God willing, and with good health till the age of 75, which is 31 years, a long time to minister as a bishop, especially given the situation in our world and church today. But it was exciting, it was beautiful, it was glorious, And it was exhausting.
There's so many receptions and celebrations, but it was all good.
And he had his first Mass here on Thursday morning as well. And Solemnity of St. Joseph, what a beautiful solemnity for the Archbishop to have chosen him to ordain him on. Also, let us pray for our New Life Retreat, which is going on in the hall this weekend. Have one of the largest groups ever. Wonderful blessing. Again, many candidates, and they started Friday night, all day Saturday, and now all day Sunday. So unfortunately, there won't be coffee downstairs after Mass because the retreat is going on. But let's pray for them that they will experience a new life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the readings this weekend are beautiful, beautiful readings, all focused on the theme of thirst, of water. And yet, what is the thirst that is really being spoken of? Well, beginning in the first reading, we have the story of the people of Israel after they were led by Moses out of Egypt. They were set free from slavery, but then they were tested by God for 40 years, where they had to wander through the wilderness, where God needed to purify them. Because even though they'd been set free from slavery, they still, their faith was weak. And in this reading today, the first reading, we see them doubting the Lord, saying, "Here we are in this wilderness. We're thirsty. We have nothing to drink." And even Moses complained to the Lord, "Lord, what are we going to do?" And the Lord, of course, happened to be God. The Lord God said, "Moses, just take your staff and strike this rock, and I'll bring water out of this rock, because I can do anything I want. Why are you doubting me? If I'm leading you into the wilderness, it's not so I'm going to lead you here to die. Where's your trust?" And so Moses struck the rock, and the rock produced water.
That's pretty good, right? Water coming from rock. And it must have been an ongoing miracle, because they were in the desert for a long time, or the wilderness, and so they needed water.
And in the New Testament, we are told, and who is the rock
that was struck? Jesus.
Jesus is the rock. The rock of our faith, the rock of our salvation. He's the source of not just the literal water that quenched their thirst temporarily, but as we see in today's gospel, he is the source of the waters that will quench our thirst, the deeper thirst. Now, not the physical thirst, but the spiritual thirst of our souls,
which is something we all have universally. Just like we all experience physical thirst,
so too we experience spiritual thirst. But the problem today, the problem has always been, we don't recognize
what that thirst is for, and therefore we get spiritually thirsty, but we try to fill it up,
not with the Spirit, but with worldly and sensual satisfactions. That's so often what sin is. It's turning to something this worldly, something material, something sensual, rather than turning to the Lord to satisfy that thirst. And we see Jesus in this beautiful conversation with the woman of Samaria, and she represents all of us. This woman who had had five husbands and now was living with a man. So in other words, she was a sinner. She wasn't getting it. She wasn't finding the love she was looking for, because she was looking in the wrong place.
But Jesus didn't reject her. Jesus spoke to her.
She was dumbfounded. "Why are you speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman, and you're..." By the way, she came to the well at noon, the hottest time of the day. Why? Because that she knew no one else would be there. All the other local women would get water early in the morning before the heat of the day. But she didn't want to be seen, because she knew she was an outcast. She knew she was in a situation that wasn't good. But Jesus spoke to her. And the first thing he said to her was, "Give me a drink." He made a request of her.
It reminded me, of course, one of the last things Jesus said on the cross before he died was, "I thirst. I thirst." Of course he was thirsty. He'd been scourged and crucified, lost a lot of blood. He was physically thirsty indeed. But that word, "I thirst," that phrase, was much deeper cry. It was a cry of his heart. The great saints and mystics have recognized that. He was thirsting for us. He was thirsting for our love, for our hearts to open to him. "Give me a drink. I thirst for you." Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, in all of her convents around the world, she always would have a crucifix, and underneath she would have that phrase, "I thirst," to remind the sisters that Jesus Christ is still thirsting until the end of the world. He's thirsting for souls. He's thirsting for your love and my love. That is why the great commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. The great commandment which we all fail in one way or another. We're all sinners in that regard. Amazing, eh? We don't often confess that in confession, that I have not loved God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yet that's what he's thirsting for. But not because he's selfish, but rather because he created us. And he knows that our hearts will never be satisfied until we turn to him, until we learn to turn away from sin and to turn to him with all our hearts. He is the source of the deep satisfaction that every human heart longs for. And what is this living water that he promises? We see elsewhere in the gospel, it's the Holy Spirit, which is, as we hear in the second reading today, St. Paul telling us we have hope because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. That's if we have faith. The love of God is poured. You see the image again of water. God is love. His love is given to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is meant to be experienced like refreshing waters in our heart, quenching the parched thirst. One of the great psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 63, begins this way: "O God, you are my God. For you I long, for you my soul is thirsting. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water." The Lord wants us to come to a place in our lives and in our faith where we recognize that the deepest yearnings and longings and loneliness and dissatisfaction and restlessness in our spirits that we try to fill up in so many ways is the longing for His love. His love that He freely wants to give us. But we must turn to Him. We must turn away from sin and seek Him in order to receive it. It's a free gift. It was obtained for us on the cross. St. John testified that at the death of Jesus, then he was pierced with a lance, and from his side flowed blood and water. We believe the signs again of the waters of baptism and the water of the Spirit and the blood, the precious blood of Christ, the Eucharist, that we are privileged to be able to receive whenever we come to Mass. This is the love that we're looking for, but we so often don't recognize. That's why so often, like the woman, we go through relationship after relationship even, and we fail to find it because we have not first founded the primary relationship, which is with the Lord Himself. God wants us to be in loving relationships with others. God has established marriage and family and friendship. He wants that for us, but only when it's built on the first foundation, the first commandment, that we love God first before all else and our neighbor as ourself. That sums up the whole law and the prophets. And this is what the Lord is inviting us to today. And he offers us this gift. And again, when we say we're all looking for love, we describe that in so many ways, but I think we know. But one of the words that we use a lot today is the word intimacy. It's like, deep down, I just don't want, you know, casual friends. I'm looking for real intimate friendship, intimate companionship, intimacy. I want somebody that I can be intimate with, that will really know me and love me and accept me. That's the kind of love we're looking for. But this is precisely what God wants with each one of us, intimacy. Now, theologically, we don't use that word, but there is a word we use which is the equivalent of that word. You know what it is? The word is communion. Communion. This is the word, theologically, that speaks about the intimate, personal relationship that God wants first of all, with each one of us directly. He wants us to know him as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then through our communion with God also then to be able to enter into communion with one another. Relationships of love, of trust, of vulnerability, of friendship, companionship, belonging. This is what we were created for. Think about it. Think about if you had all the money in the world, all the gadgets and toys and possessions, all the comforts, all the pleasures, all the sex, drugs, and rock and roll or whatever, you know, you had it all, but you did not have intimacy. You did not have a real deep relationship with anyone. Would we be happy? No. Deep down, we know that all of that is not worth anything without true relationships of love. Why? Because that's how God designed us. And he, first of all, is reaching out to us. He wants that relationship with each one of us. And he invites us into that relationship through his son, Jesus. But we must turn away from sin. We must turn to him with all our hearts. We must ask for that gift and grace. We must open wide the doors of our hearts to him. And that's what the gospel invites us to today. So brothers and sisters, let us hasten to turn to the Lord. Let us open our hearts to him and know that in doing so, he will pour his love into us through the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of God, as Jesus said to the woman, if you only knew the gift of God, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.